Blog Talk Radio. Show on astrology and love, and find out exactly where love resides for you. But we're also going to talk about heartbreak, because everyone has had love and everyone has had heartbreak. I'm going to open up the chat room here, and I want to invite everybody into the chat room. I'm going to try. But I also invite you to call in. So call in to 646-716-9140. That's 646-716-9140. And I'm going to be doing shows on a regular basis. Monday is always at 1 o'clock, and you can call in and have a reading done. It's free, free, free. You can also email me at astroholly@mail.com. You can find my website at astroholly.com. And you can find me on Twitter. That's HollyBlair8. And I like the number 8 because it's infinite. It's a sign of infinity, right? And soon on Facebook. Right now I'm having a glitch with Facebook, but that's Holly Blair 888. I like my eights. So I want you to call in for a reading. Let's talk about heartbreak. Let's talk about love. Now, one of the things I'm going to go through here is compatibility in relationships. Now, I always tell people that we are not just our sun sign. And you have to understand the entirety of your chart in order to get a proper reading on love. So if you're a Gemini, you might look at your readings and go, "That's not me. I'm not like that at all." Most likely, it's because you've got a lot of other planets in your chart, such as, okay, I can get the chat room open, so you're going to have to call in. Such as, you might have a lot of Gemini, you might have a lot of Cancer, you might have a lot of Aries in your chart. Almost everybody has the sign before that and the sign after that in their chart, and it's really pretty cool. So if you're a Gemini, for instance, read on Cancer, see if you click more with that. And if you're a Gemini, read on Aries, see if you click more with that. Well, most likely you do. When it comes to love, and I do a ton of relationship charts, and I'm actually contracted for a few websites to do their astrology for them. Right now I'm doing a whole series of videos on astrology and sexuality, astrology and compatibility with each relationship. So you might find that you're finding love in all the wrong places. And there's a good reason for that. The reason is I'm very much into Jungian, but I'm also into Freudian too. And a lot of things stem from our childhood. And the reason things stem from our childhood is because we choose, this is my belief system, we choose to be born into a certain family dynamic in order to help us work through past life issues. So you might find yourself in a childhood relationship that's very difficult with father. Let's say, and father was never there, father wasn't really home, father was too strict, father wasn't very loving. And then a lot of times I see that's like a Capricorn moon, Capricorn Venus, Capricorn Mars, sometimes a mixture of Cancer in the chart as well too. And they're looking for that to keep healing that father relationship, that father-daughter relationship. So they tend to find men, subconsciously choose men that are not going to love them, just like their father may not have given them the attention that they wanted, or they look for older men, or they look for unattainable men. So men are not going to be there for you. And we do that, crazy enough, because we want to fix the hurt that we had as children. So the first thing that I look through when I'm coaching my clients, and this is Holly Blair, if you want to have coaching on Fridays, I have 50% off Fridays, and we can do it through video chat, Skype, phone, Facebook chat, video chat. I've also got some platforms I work on, and we can talk about love and heartbreak. So the first thing you want to do is take a look at your childhood. Did you have heartbreak as a child with mom or with dad? That's the first place you look. Okay, if you're like, no, I had a great relationship with my parents, and I still do, or I did up until they passed away, then we're going to look at your relationship with any significant sibling or family member. I had a client, and he was like, I had a great relationship with my parents. And he goes, but me and my brother hate each other. To this day, we don't talk. And I said, okay, so how do your parents deal with that? Well, my mom, you know, he said, my mom doesn't want to get in between, so she ignores the whole thing. And my dad does the same thing. So that was like, so how do you feel about that? I don't find it very supportive. Yeah, I have a great relationship with my father and my mother, but I'm still have difficulties with how they're dealing with sibling rivalry. So that's an issue. And this particular person has a great loving relationship, been married for 20 years, but he doesn't get along with her family. Right? So that stems into childhood too, and healing that childhood heart, healing that heartbreak. I'm a grown-up woman, you know. I've lived many, many, many centuries, few centuries, and I'm still learning about heartbreak. I just came up with, I get a bit intimate here, I just came up with a realization not too, you know, today, yesterday, not too long ago, where I was very devastated that a friend didn't support me on a heartbreak that I was having with another friend who is now a family member and my father. She wasn't supportive and, you know, basically said maybe you need to find new people in your life. And I walked away devastated, heartbroken. Partly because of her reaction to it, but also partly because she was right. Why do I keep banging my head up against the wall, trying to make these relationships work? I'm the one who asks to get together. I'm the one who gets upset if they don't invite me to a get together. I'm the one who tries to, and I show them that I'm upset, and they're just like, you know, flabbergasted. They just don't understand why. And I've been doing this since childhood. I did not live in a situation where I could easily make friends. I lived quite far away from the local people around my school. I went to, I had babysitters constantly, which moved around. I wasn't really part of the neighborhood. I had a quirky brother who I found out years later was really messed up. So probably a lot of people knew about that, and I wasn't privy to it. Therefore, it was really hard for me to make friends, and I was relentless trying to make friends, desperately, always. I mean, I look back and I think how embarrassing that was for me to try so hard. And there was a point, a couple of really wonderful times when a couple of friends said, you know, I'm really sorry that I wasn't your friend. I was too involved in people who were actually quite shallow and weren't really good friends. But it was too late then because we were graduating grade 8 and everybody was going on their own way. And then I realized, why am I so hungry for love in my family, which I feel like I'm constantly not getting. In fact, they're dropping like flies, like from my life. I have a psychology background. I have a philosophy background. I get their personalities. I get it. I don't take it personally. It's not about me. But I realized I was babysat since I was 6 weeks old, and for long hours because my parents were hairdressers. So 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, they'd pick us up. But when I went to grandma's house every Sunday with all the family there, and I was passed around, I was the first girl born in a big family, and in a big extended family, not my own family. And I was passed around. I was loved. I was cared for. And that's my connection. That's my connection to family. And that's why I'm hungry for the family thing. Now, like I said, I've been around for a few decades. Yeah, my soul's been around for a few centuries. So that's an example. You know, that's how long it took me to sort of make that connection. And is it necessary for me to make that connection? I don't know. I'm not into the blame game. I believe we're all responsible for our presence where we are. So I want you to call in. And you know, and if you want to follow me, I think you can get emails when I'm doing these random shows. Because I want you to call in at 646-716-9140. That's 646-716-9140. 646-716-9140. I have 50% off full readings, one hour readings, at, so they're $50. So it's $50 Fridays to have a full reading done from me, and I coach. So I do readings for people on a regular basis to help them get through difficult times, help them find that love that they want, help them find that job that they want, help them find their heart's desire and end the heartbreak and fall in love with yourself again. Okay, so we're going to go down the list of the 12 signs, but it's very, you know, it's like I said, we are not just our sun signs. So take it with it. If it doesn't ring true to you, maybe the sign after does, or maybe the sign before it does rings true for you, right? So the first thing, we're going to look at is love for Aries. What exactly is a love for Aries? How do Aries love? Aries are very, they jump in with all four paws right from the beginning. They're interested in a relationship. They let that person know. In fact, they can be quite impatient when it comes to getting into a relationship because they find themselves it's exciting. It's an adventure. It's brand new. You know, it's a wonderful new experience, and that's what they love. Aries love newness. They love new beginnings. Now, just as fast as the fire gets ignited, it goes out. But that doesn't mean an Aries cannot last in love. It just means they get bored easily. They want constant adventure. So sometimes what they do is, because they're the warriors, they're the rams, they tend to pick a fight or stir things up or create some aggression. If they're into sports, they'll just do that all the time. They'll just find a way to watch sports, be in sports. So if you're not a sports person and your Aries lover is, you might want to fake it till you make it, because that's what they'll love. And or just find adventure in your relationship constantly. It could be as simple as going to a movie once a week or a different restaurant once a week or going on for some hikes or walks or trying new hobbies, right? For a Taurus, Tauruses are very predictable. They're very, they're touchy-feely. They have, Taurus is ruled by the planet Venus, which is our planet of love. And they like the gardening. They love their food. So restaurants is a great place to go on a date with a Taurus. They're loyal, and they're dedicated. They're slow to fall in love, a little bit slower, a little bit more shy, and they're touchy-feely, like, you know, they like to hold hands, they like to sit close, that type of thing. They can be stubborn. Mm-hmm. They can be stubborn. So you get the persistence, you get the loyalty, but when they're in, they're upset, they dig their heels in the ground, they don't budge. For a Gemini, Geminis like diversity. They like change. And they too can get bored easily when they're in love and they're not, there's not enough change in the relationship. And you want to establish a relationship with them where they, you know, where you have the ability to change your environment, your atmosphere at the drop of a hat, because they're spontaneous that way. They're very playful, very childlike, very chatty. They can talk a lot. They have a bit of a sense of humor as well, right? And then you got Cancer. And but I'll go back to Gemini for a second. They can have a problem settling down because of their restlessness. And then we have Cancer. Cancers are can be a bit needy, but they're very cuddly. They're very caring. They're very nurturing. That's how they take care of their partners, is by nurturing them, mothering them, coddling them. But they want the same in return. They're homebodies. They're not ones to sort of go out too much or do too much. Again, take a look at Leo. Take a look at Gemini. If you're a Cancer and you're going, that's not me, listen to the Gemini and the Leo part. And, you know, if you're not a homey person, then a Cancer person isn't for you. Leos are the life of the party, same as Geminis or as well. And Leos like attention. They want to be treated as a king or a queen, and they will treat you like a king or a queen if you do so. They're romantics at heart. They're the hopeless or hopeful romantics. And, you know, it's exciting to be with a Leo. There's a lot of drama, though. There's a lot of drama. And you better not want the light shined on you too much, because they want all the attention. Virgos are very picky in their relationships. They're quite choosy. They really do take their time, because when they're in love with someone, they give their all, and they serve them. And because they like to serve, they like to make really great lovers, because they want to make sure that they're completely satisfied. for Virgos, they might be, the more that they love someone, the more picky they are about the person, because they just want you to be the best that you can be, because they see potential in everyone that they care for. Libras are funny because they lose themselves in a relationship, somewhat like Pisces do, because they want to become whatever their partner wants them to be. So it makes it really hard for them to make choices because they want you to make the choice for them. That can get frustrating for some lovers. And but, you know, it's always great to have a Libra, because they will accept you just as you are. So I'm just looking something up here. And that's great, because it will teach you to love yourself. It will teach you to love yourself because of how much they love their partner. Scorpios are very passionate. They can be needy. Sexual relationship, sensual relationship, very important to them. And they can be very reserved at first. They will not tell you a lot about themselves, but will want to know everything about you until they can trust you. Trust is very big. Sagittarians are funny. They're witty. They're hilarious. They're sarcastic. They're truth-finding. They like intellectual stimulation, and they're very hard to settle down to. It's hard for them to commit. On the other hand, you've got Capricorns. They love to commit to a relationship. They like to work hard on a relationship. They're very serious lovers, very serious partners. They can be the boss of you. They can be bossy. Leos can be bossy as well, too. And Aquarians, they need their freedom. They like intellectual stimulation as well. They, just like Sagittarians, they like to travel. Like to explore the world. They do need their space, they need their time alone, and they need their friends. So if you get jealous that your Aquarian needs to go out once in a while with his friends, then that's going to be a hard relationship. Now, Pisces, they put their whole heart and soul into a relationship. They're always looking for their soulmate, but they can get lost in their partner because they tend to attract needy people. People that have issues, psychological issues, depression, that type of stuff. Because they're healers, they're natural healers, and these people gravitate towards them. I always say, find your healing in your career or volunteer so it doesn't come into your relationship. So that's basically it. That's all the 12 signs in love in a nutshell. And next episode probably will be tomorrow. I hope you guys can call in. We're going to be talking about people that are passed on. See what we can connect with. Namaste.